I'm going to share with you just an illustration here, but first, let me read to you this verse out of Proverbs 25:4. It says, take away the dross from silver, and it will go to the silversmith for jewelry. And so the point of that is that we as God's children, as followers of Christ, should endeavor to keep the dross out of our life. In other words, we should be shining for Christ. Kind of like that sign, shine on, shine on. We should be shining for Christ. And that's an ongoing effort to keep ourselves from growing dull or dim in our walk with Christ. And so I want to share with you this illustration here. It's not that it's a big illustration or anything, but I have some silver here that is probably about 70 years old or more. And, it's gotten a little tarnished. And so we know how tarnish works. I'll make sure this is got the seal off of it because I went to the store to get it. Nope. And with my luck, I won't get it open. So I forgot to check that I was sitting here looking at that. That would be good. It's open now. All right. So got this cleaner here. But just to remind us that as silver, and this is supposed to be stainless silver, but it's old. You know, you wipe it on, clean it up, get it, the other side's got the dark on it over here, clean it off. Oops. I couldn't find any gloves today. There. And then rinse it off. And it looks a lot better, doesn't it? Just the principle. The point is that in our own Christian walk, if we're not focused on Christ on a daily basis, if we're, you know, we go through the course of this world and or just the course of each day, and we're affronted with sin or with darkness or things that aren't glorifying God, and we need to examine ourselves. We need to know that our hearts are right and clean and in step with Jesus on a moment-by-moment, day-by-day basis. That's how we keep ourselves shining for Christ, by maintaining our life witness as being those that shine for Christ. If not, we become dull. It develops the dross on it, right? And the dross is, no one wants to eat off a spoon that's, or fork or silverware, just as an example, that hasn't been polished, or, you know, for old silver, that whole thing looked pretty dirty. I don't want to eat off that or serve off of that. But when it's properly cared for, then it can be used more effectively with joy. And that's true in our own walk. God can use us more effectively, and our service to Him with joy is that much more of a reality because we do keep our hearts right with God. It doesn't become something that's weighted down or that's a burden or that's, we were serving under, you know, duress, so to speak. You know, I'm doing it because I've got to do it. Somebody's got to do it type thing. But we serve with joy in the Lord. And so remember that. Shine for Christ, okay? Shine for Christ. And that's the daily maintenance of our own walk with Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here. I thank you, Father, for the blessings of just seeing different faces here this morning. And I do pray, Father, please, that as we focus our hearts on you and as we have in worship, that we will hear what you have to say through your word and by your spirit. My prayer, Father, is that you would reveal yourself, that your presence and your power and your glory would be made clear here today. And Father, I want to see you preach the message. I don't want to see me in it. I don't want to be seen. I want you to be seen. I want us to know that you're the one that's carrying the message. You're the one that's presenting it, and that you are doing your work your way. So Father, as your word is lifted up from this podium, I pray, Father, that at this time, as we examine your word and hear your word, that we will know that it's you speaking and your spirit touching our hearts. And may we leave this place today saying, you know, we were not just at church, but God was there with us. And we are aware of that because of your touch to each of our hearts. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing I wanted to consider is what we talked about here, taking the dross out of our life. spiritual dross disqualifies us from the prize. You need to remember that. Remember the passage of scripture that says, run the race? How many times have you heard me from the pulpit say, you know, run the journey, go the path that God has you to go, you're on a journey for the Lord, run the race, be in step with what God would have you to do. In various ways I've stated that, but we can be on the sidelines watching and allowing ourselves to get covered in dross and not really being used effectively for God's glory, because we become content being obscure in our witness and our walk and our commitment for Jesus. Or we can be in the race and we can be diligent about what God would have each one of us to do, serving Him with joy. And yet still in the race, there's a mentality that, okay, in my 20s, I'm expected to do this. In my 40s, I'm expected to do this. In my 60s, I'm expected to do this. In my 80s, I'm expected not to do this or that. But we're supposed to be doing whatever God would have us to all the way to the end of the journey. God has a race for each of us to engage in, and the race is for that crown. And you've probably heard it from the scriptures that we will receive a crown of righteousness. Well, we receive a crown of righteousness because of Christ who lives in us. In other words, we're saved by grace through faith in Christ. We're made clean in and through Christ. And as you've heard over and over and over, that our sins have been taken away. And because of that, we'll be given a crown of righteousness. But there's a crown of life to reach for. There's a crown of life. There's an honor of living your life, running the race, being on the journey, being on the path that God has you to be, and to run it all the way through your life until God calls you home. So I don't think, you know, we work with senior ministries often where Christian seniors will say, you know, well, there's, you know, they've taken their eyes off what God wants them to do now. Okay, I can't do as much as I used to, but I can always pray. As long as I have my mind, I can pray. And the Holy Spirit is there prompting us, and there's a reason for us to be there and to be to set our heart and our eyes focused on God and to be faithful all the way to the end of the course that He sets before us. In 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27, it says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize?" Like the Olympics, you know, the different categories, one receives the gold and the silver and the bronze, so forth, right? "And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things, self-controlled, discipline, focus, giving everything that they have to make themselves the best that they can be to win the prize." Now, sitting on that statement, isn't that how our Christian walk should be? Giving everything that we have, doing the best that we can in Christ to be all that God has called us to be, faithfully, effectively running the race to the end to win the prize. But the point of the winning the prize is that not everybody's going to win it. I think as Christians, we think that it's an equal slate, so to speak, that every Christian will receive and win everything available to them because they're saved. But that's not the case. We all will receive rewards accordingly. And one of them is this crown of life, because we have run the race effectively, faithfully, obediently for Christ. "Therefore, I run thus," Paul says, "not with uncertainty." I love that statement. I am living my life, running my life, not running as a mean control, but taking the course of my life with the certainty that I am where I should be, doing what I should be as God would lead me to. That I know that I'm in the center of God's will. I'm confident of that. That I am following the Lord, being the person that He wants me to be, discovering whatever He would have me to do in the course that I'm running. And so Paul says, "Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight not as one who beats the air." The opposite of not being certain that we're in the will of God and living life is that we're just living life for no real end, no real purpose, no real effectiveness other than temporal things. And yet, in verse 27, it says, "But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection," To what? To the requirements to run the race, to keep the dross off of my life, to keep myself in tune with Christ, to keep myself in step with Christ, to keep myself faithful to Christ, to know that each day I have evil in each day to contend with, and I'm to be faithful through it, and when I mess up, confess and repent and move on and keep ourselves unspotted, as James told us to, keeping ourselves disciplined each day as we follow Christ or in subjection to Him. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Do you understand that we may look at this passage of Scripture and say, well, we're all in a race, and we're to run the race, and we're to run the course, and we're to reach for the crown, but not everybody in the race will get to the end of the objective that God has for them because they've not disciplined themselves, or they've not committed themselves, or they've not subjected themselves to the will of God, but they've taken their life back for their own instead of giving their life to God, and He bought our life for Him. It doesn't belong to us anymore. The point is that you can be in the race and be disqualified. We may have read this passage of Scripture over years as Christians and said, oh, we're all in a race, and our life is a race, and when we get to the end, we'll see what happens. But if we're not diligent in the race, if we're not focused in doing what God would have us to do, if we're not confident that we're in the center of God's will, not beating against the air, but confident that I am doing what I ought to be doing in Christ, then we would be disqualified from winning the prize. The prize is that crown of life, where Jesus Himself, in literal terms, sets a crown on top of your head and honoring you for living your entire life from the point of, this to say, from the point of receiving Christ to the end of your life faithfully. Faithfully. If someone trips on the field, they say they're doing the hurdles, and they trip or something like that, that probably would disqualify them. But we certainly would, if it was allowed, if the rules were allowed, to get up, brush himself off, and move on. Right? That's what we ought to be doing. That when we stumble and fall, we see our mishaps and all that, that in God's grace and in God's mercy, that we can get back up in the power and the grace and strength of God in our life to be the people that God wants us to be. You see, once we stumble, God doesn't go, you're out of the race. He says, you know what, you can get back up, and you can brush yourself off, and you can rely on my grace and strength and power to enable you to be faithful to me, because that's what I've provided for you already. But when we stumble and we fall and we say, that's it, we're disqualified. We walk away, we're disqualified from what? From being successful in running the course of life that God has for each one of us to run. From having the possibility of winning the crown. Not just one person receives it, like in the race, but we receive a crown upon our diligence and our discipline and our willingness and our surrender and our subjection to Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:10-11 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, that respect for God, that fear of God, I'm going to stand before God. I remember a lady, Sarah, when she was diagnosed with terminal cancer, and she was elderly, and I asked her, how are you doing with this? Are you wrapping your mind around this reality that you're not going to be here much longer? And she says, I'm okay with it. I've run the race. I've been faithful. She did not have, we all have regrets, but as she looked at her life, she goes, I know I've been faithful to God to the end. And there's a great joy in knowing that we can be that we can stand before God with confidence. Paul sought after that, to stand before God with confidence, knowing that he's fought a good fight, that he's ran the course, that he's done the journey that God would have him to go. But remember, when we fall and mess up, God doesn't hold us down there and say, that's it. He wants us to rely on him, and out of his love and compassion, he will enable us to get back up and run the race effectively. So we can always repent, and we can always give our lives back to God. We can always make a commitment to God that is stronger and more intent on following Christ on a regular basis. We'd have reverent fear of God, a clear conscience out of love for God. If we're walking with God, if we're faithful to God, we love God, we know we're on course with God, we're keeping ourselves in check with God on a regular basis, then we have a clear conscience. And there's something to be said for clear conscience, isn't there? There's freedom, there's liberty, there's joy, there's peace. All those wonderful things. In 1 John 2:28, it says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, he may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." Like the lady Sarah, you know, she had confidence that she would not be ashamed standing before her Lord. That's what we have as a goal. Who wants to stand before God knowing that we don't have the confidence that we ran the race right? Or knowing that we're not right with God, but we're still his. And God says, no, you know, repent, brush yourself off, commit to the race, and run it. In your little insert in the bulletin, it says, the little fill in the blanks, it says, do not be, and then the word to fill in here is disqualified, but the next word is run the race to obtain the prize. Do not be disqualified, but run the race to obtain the prize. Ask yourself the question, are you engaged in the race, the journey, the path that God has for you in your life today? Are you really in step and confident that you are living your life committed to him, diligently following him as he intended for you to follow him? We can have that confidence. Like Paul says, the one without confidence is one that's beaten against the air. The one with confidence says, I have the assurance that I'm on the path, I'm in the place, and I'm doing what God has me to do. And we will keep that mentality throughout our walk with Jesus until he calls us home or comes back. Secondly, spiritual endurance wins the prize. Endurance is perseverance, diligence, perseverance. How do you say that word? Triathlon, thank you. You know, the things that these guys or these athletes do to prepare for the race, to do the different varieties of the sport, to be diligent, to endure the hardships. You know, what was her name, Kathy Rigsby, years ago in the 70s when she did the Olympics and she jumped off the thing and she sprung her ankle, but she hung in there and she did what she had to do, right? Even taking the hardship and the pain, but going with it, endurance, diligence. 2 Timothy 2:10 through 13 says, "Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him." Stop right there. One of the qualifications for running the race is dying to ourselves so that we can live with him. When we're not the one that's the center of our life, but Jesus is the center of our life. When we're not the one that's in control of our life, but our control is subjected to the authority of our Lord and Savior Jesus, who's the center of our life. When we totally relinquish our life over to Jesus and say, my life isn't yours and I'm happy about it, isn't mine and I'm happy about it. My life belongs to you and I'm excited about what you have in the course or the journey or the race that you've set before me. Because whatever the race is that God has for us to run, whatever our life journey is that each one of us has, whatever turns, whatever hardships, whatever blessings, whatever, when we're faithful and submitted to God and in the will of God, is for his glory. And it glorifies him. And to be a part of that is awesome. This is a faithful saying. If we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, that diligence, we shall also reign with him. Do you see the ifs here? If we died with him, we will live with him. If, that's a conditional statement. If we endure, if we are diligent to discipline and keep our hearts focused and be untarnished, if you will, on a daily basis, keeping our conscience clear before God through the day, if we do this, we will also reign with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If you're an individual that says, I don't believe in you, Lord, I don't acknowledge you, I don't want you, then he'll deny us too. But then it says in verse 13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. That's an interesting twist to a verse. God always keeps true to his promise. You see, when we received Christ, we were saved by faith through grace in Jesus Christ alone, not of works lest anyone should boast, Ephesians 2:8-9. So I'm saved, you're saved, because we've received Christ into our life. But the choice is, are we going to be faithful to God with the journey that he leads us to go on through life? And if we're not faithful and being committed to following him, he's still faithful to his word to save us. But not everybody who's saved will win the prize of the crown of life at the end of the race. You got to run the race. You got to be committed to it. It's not just living. It's not just proclaiming I'm a Christian. It's not just going to church. It's not just jumping all the hoops. It's knowing that you and I, as children of God, are literally following Christ day by day. That we keep our conscience clear before God, that when we mess up and we do something, we know that it's not pleasing to God, we acknowledge it to him, we confess it, we repent of it. He cleanses us from that spotting of our garments. He makes our conscience clear. That tarnish is constantly being taken off so we can be that vessel that's useful for God if we decide to be committed to him that way. So there's a choice. There are those that are Christians that choose not to run the race, but watch it. And there are those who choose to be in the race and to discipline with diligence to the end. I keep hearing Billy Graham say stuff, you know, like, you know, how he's looking forward to the next, when God takes him home, if you will. The faithfulness, the diligence, the commitment. In Matthew 10:22, it says, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures, that's diligence, to the end will be saved. That word saved is not eternal salvation. That word saved is being kept from being disqualified from the race. Being kept from not being proven faithful. Being kept from being the people that God has called you and I to be in him. When we stand for Jesus, people will not like us. Take the heat. Take the punch. Stand in love with Jesus. But he who endures to the end will be saved, will not be disqualified from the race. We're not talking about eternal security here. We're talking about the race. In Hebrews 12:1-3, it says, make sure I'm on the right, but yeah. Hebrews 12:1-3 says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, what are the witnesses? All the testimonies and the witnesses of those that have been faithful in the Old Testament, New Testament, those that we know that are examples to us. Let us lay aside every weight. Everything that keeps us from being faithful to Jesus, being diligent and following him, being the people that God has called us to be, are the weights. Lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance, persistence, perseverance, right? The race that is set before us. Don't take your eyes off the goal. I want to run my race effectively through the power of Christ who lives through me until the last day I breathe my breath on this earth or until he calls me home. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Again, what was the joy, or whom was the joy that was set before Jesus that encouraged him to take the shame of the cross? It was your name and my name on his heart. He's God in the flesh. He already knew us from before the foundations of the world. Our life was already predetermined. The number of days that we're to live were already predetermined before the foundations of the world. The Bible teaches us that. And because he knew who we were that would know him, he endured the shame and the pain and the agony, not only of the physical cross, but of the weight of our sin and the sin of the world placed upon him and the turning of the Father's back against him. He endured it. So what example is that to you and I? If Jesus did that out of love for us, out of our love for him, we should be able to endure the pain, the shame, the ridicule, the injustices, whatever, for the sake of living for Christ. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. What do you hear people say that discourages them from following Christ? Oh, organized church or hypocrites at church. I hear hypocrites all the time. Right? Every excuse on everyone else except on themselves. We're each held accountable for how we live for Christ. We can't say to Christ, but look at them. That's the oldest trick in the book. That's what Adam did when he was held accountable before the Father in the garden. But my wife made me eat that. No, you didn't have to. We are each held accountable. James 1:12 says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, tested, tried, passed the test, when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Do you think that when God looks at you and I enduring hardship, enduring pain, taking the time to earnestly seek his face, to be right in our own heart and conscience before God on a moment-by-moment, day-by-day basis, is not pleased with the endurance that we find in him out of our love for him? You bet he is. You bet he is. And that's where we pass the test. When the unexpected hardship comes, when the unexplained circumstance comes, when the surprises in our life come, or when we don't know why type stuff comes into our life, when we are committed to God regardless because he is sovereign God, then God is pleased with our faithfulness and love to him, and we pass the test. And there are many tests, many challenges to the race that are an opportunity for our faith and love for Jesus to be seen because we're committed to him. In your handout, in the insert, it says, God is faithful, giving eternal life to those who believe in him and to those enduring, that is persevering, to the end of the race. What's that say at the end? We'll reign with him. Have you been taught in your Christian teaching that every Christian shall reign with Christ? Every Christian shall be a joint heir with Christ? Not if you study the scriptures. The prerequisite for being that joint heir, that prerequisite of reigning with Christ in that authority, is our endurance to go the distance of the journey of the race that God has paved out for each one of us, and to remain faithful and diligent and committed to him through whatever course we may have to endure. The prize being joint heirs with Christ. It's not an automatic thing. And when you think about the millennial reign and Christ is physically on earth, and all the Christians that are with him, there will be those that are serving him. We'll all be serving him, but there will be those that will be reigning with him as well. Only if they're faithful to run the journey to the end. Only if they're willing to endure with perseverance. Romans 8:12-17 says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. We don't have to live according to the flesh, the way of the flesh, the contrary to the way of God. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. He's talking about there's no value in living for our own self-gratification in the flesh. The only real value is living for Christ. And it'll have its eternal impact on us. Not our salvation, but an eternal impact of our witness, of our testimony, and how God is preparing us for his service and for his glory in the future. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, there are these ifs, remember? For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Another reiteration. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Are you led by the Spirit of God? Can you identify in your heart that you are being led by Jesus on a daily basis? Is that a priority in your life? Are you committed to him in that way? That's what he wants us to do. And if we do, then we're led by the Spirit of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, in heaven. An emotional attachment that's deep and real with God, our Heavenly Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Let's back up. And if children, we're children how? By our second birth. We have a physical birth. Our second birth is what? When we receive Christ. The spiritual birth. We become spiritually alive. So if children, if we receive Christ, have that second birth, become spiritually alive. If children, then we are heirs to what? To the promise of eternal life. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ if indeed, we suffer with him. Or follow you, Lord, so long as you make it easy. Or follow you, Lord, so long as there's no injustice. Or follow you, Lord, so long as you don't keep hammering me or let life keep hammering me. Or follow you if you make the road smooth. No. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. We will be joint heirs with Christ if we suffer with him. If we are willing to endure the course that God has set before us and the suffering that's endured in that course. Do you think an athlete doesn't have physical pain issues? You bet. But they endure it to run the course. And you and I spiritually are called to endure the troubles and the trials and the heartaches and all the things that come our way by faith in Jesus Christ, being surrendered to him, subject to him. In doing so, we'll be joint heirs with Christ. And the joint heir is to have the rights of the firstborn. Jesus being the Son of God, the first that rose from the dead and ascended to the Father, and he's glorified, sitting at the right hand of the Father, and everything the Father has for him is for him. And if we are faithful to run the race to the end, then what God the Father has for Jesus, his Son, you and I will share it. But not every believer. Because not every believer runs the course diligently, persistently, faithfully. If you've been in the race and you know it, you say, I received Christ, and my passion has been to love Jesus and to follow him. My passion has been to live for Christ. And you're in the race and you're going along, but you get knocked down, you say, throw your hands up, then you've allowed yourself to become disqualified from running the course. You don't pass the test because you give up. But if we're unwilling to give up and rely on God's grace and not our own strength, then we have what we need to be persistent and diligent in the things that God has for us to run through. And we stay qualified. And in the end, we become joint heirs with Christ. So this fill in the last section of the insert. Being an heir is unconditional. You're a child of God by faith in Jesus Christ. You're an heir to the promise of eternal life. That's unconditional. That's based on Jesus. can only go to heaven through faith in Christ. Being a joint heir is conditional and upon perseverance. If you want to share in the things that God the Father has for the Son as the heir, if you want to be a joint heir with Christ, run the course faithfully, diligently, to the end. It's your choice, it's my choice. And let me conclude with this statement. The prize of being a joint heir of Christ is gained by living a lifetime willing to suffer for Him. Have you ever heard someone say, "Do what you want, Lord," and then they find out God challenges them to that statement and they back up? But if we're really serious about doing what God wants, be ready for what God wants. And don't be afraid of it, because whatever He calls us to do, He's already empowered us to do through Him. It's not our own strength, and it's all for His glory. Let's go to the Lord. Father, thank You for Your word, Your spirit, Your presence. Help us, Father, each one of us, to have that committed heart to You that says we will run the race, we will finish the course, we will go with confidence before You when we stand before You, knowing that we've lived our lives in the center of Your will, following after You. If there's someone here today that knows that they're a Christian and they said, "You know, I know that I've not been running the course. I know that I've stepped out of the race, or maybe never even stepped into the race," and they'd like to re-step into that race, encourage them to pray that prayer where they're at and say, "Lord, I want to give my life back to You and be as committed to You as You would have me to be, only through Your strength." Father, if there's someone here today that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, I pray, Father, please, that You would speak to their heart and remind them that You love them very, very much. And as You stand at the outside of their heart, knocking on their heart, You want to come into their heart, into their life, and help them to live a new life in Christ. So if someone wants to make that decision, may they simply ask You, say, "Lord, forgive me for my sin. I know You died on the cross for me, and You rose. Come live in my life and be my Lord in Jesus' name." And if anybody would like to come and meet me up front in this invitation time for me to pray with them for any needs, may they come. And may You be glorified. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com. And tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.